scripture as we start. So put your hand on your heart. Psalm 28, verse 8, it says, "My heart heard you say." So this is what the Lord is saying to you. He says, "Come and talk with me." And then it says, "And my heart responded, Lord, I'm coming." God is here, and he has an invitation to speak to you this morning. And the really amazing thing about God is he uses lots of voices in our lives. And this morning, Pastor Ruth is going to bring the word. But I believe it's a word from the Lord, and he wants to converse with you about it. So pay attention. It's super easy to sit in like the space you sit in. You're all sitting about in the same space and then zone out. And it's not the time to zone out today. God has in flesh. Jesus became, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And he was full of what? He is full of truth. And then in John 1:17, just down a little bit from that, it says the law was given through Moses, but what came through Jesus Christ? Truth came through Jesus Christ. That's right. And it's a fascinating thought because we worship together, but in John 4:24, it says this, that God is spirit. And if you're going to worship him, you've got to worship him in spirit and in, yeah, you got to worship him in truth. Isn't that fascinating? Have you considered that? And I love what Jesus said in John 14:6. He said, "I am the way." Yeah. "The truth and the life, and no one comes through the Father except through me." See, Jesus is the source of truth. You need to get that down into your spirit, man. Jesus is the source of truth. He's the perfect standard of what is right. And his perfect truth actually sets us free to become who he called us to be. It's a fascinating thought that in the New Testament, the Greek, it's written in Greek, and the Greeks did not have a word for reality. There was no Greek word for reality. And so they used, for the word reality, they used the word truth. And so for them, reality and truth were the same thing. Let that sink in just a little bit. Reality and truth, the same thing. And then often our perception of reality, what we think is true and what is really true, are two different things. You hear me? You understand that? Do you ever encounter that? There's reality and there's perceived reality. And do you find that in your life? Well, let me explain what I'm trying to communicate here. It's important for us to understand that when the Bible says truth, it's actually talking about the subject of reality. In John 8:32, it says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So when we think of truth, sometimes we think about concepts like the blood of Jesus saved us from our sins. We think of concepts, or we think of our doctrine of faith, or we think of truth in concepts. And it is that, but it's so much broader than that. Truth is actually a reality. And so you could think of it like this: you shall know reality, and that reality will set you free. Consider that for a moment. You shall know reality, and that reality shall set you free. I want to give you an example. It's found in the Old Testament, and it's in the book of Kings, 2 Kings. And I'm going to just set you up for the story instead of reading the whole group of scriptures to you. So Elisha was the prophet at that time. And the Syrians were making war against the Israelites. And the prophet would go to the king of Israel and say, this is what Syria is planning to do. And they'd go and they'd find that to be true. And the king of Syria did not like that because his plans were foiled at every turn. He didn't like it at all. And so he was getting frustrated. So the king of Syria came up with a plan, and he found out that the reason he was being reported was because of the prophet, Elisha. And so Elisha, who lived in Dothan, he was there, and the king of Syria found out that's where he was, and so he sent his entire army at night, and they surrounded the city of Dothan. And their goal was to capture him. And so when the servant of Elisha got up in the morning and he went outside, he looked, and there was this huge army around the city with horses and chariots and warriors on all the way around it. And his servant said an interesting thing. He said, "Alas." Do you know what that means? It might have been, "Oh my word." It might have been something like that. Alas. It's a moment of concern. I don't really hear people saying alas, but. And he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And the prophet's response is interesting. And I want you to look at verse 16, because this is his response to him. In verse 16, he says, "Don't fear." He says, "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." So the servant's looking and he's seeing the army out there. And his mentor, Elisha, says, "The ones that are for us are greater than what you're seeing." Everywhere he looks, he's seeing an army. He's seeing soldiers and horses, and they're surrounding him. And he's thinking, "We are doomed. This is the end. I'm going to die today." And the prophet of the Lord stands up and he says, "There's more with us than with them." But then he prays a prayer, and Elisha doesn't pray, "God, save us from the army." He prays such a fascinating prayer. Do you know what he prays? He said, "Father," he said, "would you open the eyes of my servant?" He says to open his eyes because the servant did not see reality. Are you seeing what God is showing us here? So the servant had his own perception of what was reality, but he didn't see the real reality because it was limited. It was limited vision. And so in verse 17, when he prayed, Elisha prayed for the Lord to open his eyes. And it says, "Then the Lord opened his eyes. He heard and he answered." Like we sang this morning, he heard and he answered. And he said, and the servant saw. And he said, "Behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, around the city," all of that. Things shifted in that moment. They changed for that servant in the moment. Do you think he had a happy dance at that moment, possibly? All of a sudden, things were different. Well, the story goes on. The Syrians get beaten and Israel wins. And I love it. The very last verse in that passage says that the Syrians didn't bother the Israelites after that. I love that. I find it humorous. Anyway, so why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this because for that servant, it took a revelation. So when you think of the word revelation, it probably means different things to all of you, but I was reading about it, and this is what it means: against the cover. Does that make any sense to you? Against the cover. Not speaking English. Against the cover. It means something undercover is hidden. And so it's veiled from our ability to see, like the servant of Elisha. Revelation means it's against the cover. It's removing the cover so that you can see what is real. So Elisha prays for his servant, and he's seeing the army out there, and he asks the Lord to open his eyes to the reality of what was real. And what does he see? So much more than it could possibly, all the chariots and horses and a fire. Can you imagine seeing that? You see, we are a people that are dependent upon revelation from him, because we live in a natural world. We have to have revelation. It is the removing of the cover that brings the reality to us. And so in this room this morning, most of us have some kind of problems going on, you know? Sometimes it's what we are perceiving of what's going on in your situation. Anybody there with me? Anybody facing anything of any kind? Are you all good? Yeah. And like the servant in the story, he sees and his eyes are open to see what is truth. We are like that. We have to be able to have the cover taken off so that we can actually see what God is doing and not just what our natural eyes are seeing. And so this morning, some of you might be have crisis at your home, or maybe in your work, or maybe with your finances, or how about sickness? How about in our nation? But we have a problem, a serious problem. That is that most of us are pretty carnal minded. What we see is what it is, and that's the way it is, and no one's going to change my mind. And there is a kingdom of God that is more real than the chair you're sitting on. It's more real than this pulpit here this morning. The kingdom of God is a reality that is a superior reality to what you're seeing in this room. And we limit ourselves when we make all of our decisions and our ideas based on what's going on in front of our eyes rather than what is the real reality, the superior reality of what the King of Kings is doing in our situations. So remember, the Word of God is truth. It is reality. It's not just a bunch of concept. It's truth. And every time the Word of God says something that is contrary to what you're experiencing, you need to trust the superior reality. Every single time. Because often our lives do not match what the Word of God says. And what are you going to do? Are you going to believe what you see in front of you? Or are you going to believe the superior reality of what the King of Kings and the Word of God and Jesus, the author of truth, truth himself, is saying? What are you going to believe? And that becomes a conflict in front of to each of us all the time. You see, the Bible is not just a book. It's not a book just filled with truthful thoughts. It's so much beyond that. It's actually a book that uncovers for us a reality that we don't even think about as we go through our day. Excuse me, please. It's a book that uncovers for us the reality that we don't even think about. It gives us glimpses. It shows us that the impossible is not impossible to God. That your situation, God has an answer for it. That he is the answer. And we think that things are too beyond. They can't be fixed. They can't. There's no turning back. There's nothing that can be recovered. And he wants to take off the blinders. He wants to uncover and show you his revelation of what he's at work doing in your situation. Because he's always working. And according to scripture, his plans for you are for good and not for evil. So what he's working for you is for what? It's for good. I want to give you an example. I got one yesterday in the midst of working on the message. I got a text from my daughter, and she said, my grandkids were in Kenosha. And their vehicle, they had the key in their hand, but the vehicle was locked and they couldn't get into the vehicle. So what is the superior, the uncovering? I said, Father, what are you going to uncover for them that they can get in their vehicle and get home again? What are you working at? What are you doing? See, that should be our first question. What is it that you're doing? What is my eyes not seeing? It's so, so important that we begin asking that question. We need the cover taken off of our eyes, just like Elisha prayed for his servant, and his eyes were opened. I want to share a quote from you from a man named Francis Frangipane, and he wrote a book called The Three Battlegrounds. And it's a fascinating quote, and you have to really listen. He says this: the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is reality itself. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God is reality itself. You see, we have to grab hold of that truth. We have to grab hold of that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are actually the reality. Their truth. And just like in that story of Elisha, we need the revelation that takes the cover off, that we can actually see what it is. He's saying we need those alas moments, right? We all need them. We need to wake up and say, okay, Father, what are you doing here? Would you take the cover off my eyes that I can see your reality and not my own? And so I want to give you another example. By the way, the car was opened and they got home. So I have a grandson, and you know, I have lots of grandsons. But I have a grandson that's in jail, and I've been praying for him. And I've been asking the Lord to set him free. And I've been asking for a long time. And it's really easy for us to move in the natural realm, and we're praying, and our eyes are not seeing anything, and for us to say, well, what's the point? Nothing's happening. Nothing's shifting. Nothing's changing. And it's so easy. That's exactly where the enemy wants to put you, where you will not look at what he's actually doing, and you'll stop praying and stop believing. He wants to keep you in that position. And I was like, Father, I just keep praying and praying. And many of you have prayed with me. In December, it will be almost 3 years. It's almost 3 years. And all of a sudden, I came to an understanding that if he's in jail, because when I pray, he hears. Papa God hears me when I pray. Not only does he hear me, he answers. So if my grandson's still in jail when I'm praying for God to set him free, then there's a superior reality that I don't understand. And I begin to say, okay, Father, with him still there, that means that you're at work in him, preparing him for the great work you have for him. And something is necessary in this moment in time for him to be where he is in order for you to do what you're doing. And I have to trust you. So I continue to pray, because today could be the day. today could be the day. So I continue to stand and believe for my grandson. You see, the Holy Spirit himself is reality. He is the Spirit of truth. Love what it says in John 16. Look at this with me. When the Spirit of truth has come, and he has come, he's in our hearts. He's in our lives. He does a number of things, but one of the things he does is he guides you into truth. He won't leave you covered without revelation. He's going to guide you into truth. And he is always at work showing you what is on the Father's heart. He's revealing to you what the plans and purposes of the Father are. And I love the last phrase of that verse. It says he will tell you things to come. Are you even asking him? Are you asking him about things to come in your situation? And with what you're dealing with, what is it that you're wanting to reveal to me? You see, if revelation is taking the cover off, then you need to begin asking him to take the cover off of what you don't understand, of what you don't see, of what situation you're in that you want to have revelation of. Because there is a superior reality at work always in your life. And sometimes we just get stuck in our carnal ways. We live in the natural realm and we just say, this is the way it is. Too bad, so sad, move on. And that is not what the heart of the Father is. The heart of the Father is that just like Elisha's servant did not see what the reality of the kingdom was for him, we live in that same realm and we're missing. We are missing out what God wants to do. I'll give you an example of that. In the Gospels, at one point, Father God speaks from heaven, okay? And he says something to his son. And there's a crowd there. And it's fascinating to me that the crowd all heard different things. But there's a whole group of them that said, that was thunder. That was only thunder. Because they live in the natural realm instead of the supernatural realm, the realm that supersedes the natural realm. And they didn't know that Father God actually spoke from heaven, and they were missing an encounter with the King of Kings when he spoke. What if they had embraced, oh my word, there's Father God speaking. What is he saying? I gotta listen up. There's something I'm missing. Even the Israelites, it says that he showed his face in the fire to the Israelites, and they missed the encounter. They actually missed it because they lived in the natural realm and they were so involved in their eating and what they wanted and what they didn't want that they missed the very encounter of God. And I'm wondering, how many times do we miss an encounter with him because we live in the natural world and we don't allow what supersedes the natural realm to bring reality to our hearts and minds? And God is wanting to do that. He, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of reality. And what he does and what he says is so greater reality than anything in the natural. You have to get that down in your spirit, man. What the Holy Spirit. So every time there's a word spoken, like this morning, divine health over someone, that supersedes the natural realm. That's not natural. In the natural realm, that's not possible. But his reality supersedes that, and it becomes the superior reality. And that's the reality she challenged us to grab hold of and to confess and make our declaration throughout the days to come. I walk in his health, because that's a superior reality to sickness and disease. And so your reality or truth is based on two things. It's based on the working in person and presence of the Spirit of God. And it's based on the Word of God. Those two things. And remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is the living Word. It's living. The Word of God is alive. is not words on a page. It's not nice stories to read. It's not a requirement to make your life miserable. It's a living word that holds the reality and pictures and glimpses of a superior reality that you're missing if you're not in the word. Because there's a revelation that comes, and that Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth, every time you open the word, he's at work in you, bringing those aha moments into your spirit man, just like he did for Elisha's servant. He's wanting to reveal to you a superior reality than the one you live in. And we get satisfied with where we're at, church. We allow our natural realm to become just what this is, what life is. And God has so much more for us. The word needs to be planted in our hearts. We need to continuously be planting seeds into our spirit man to counter all that we hear out there in the world. That world is trying to keep you in the natural realm, and God is wanting you to move out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm that supersedes the natural realm. So David, the shepherd boy that turned king, that guy, just so we're all on that same page, he talked about meditating on the word day and night. You wonder how he did what he did? You see, he had deep in his heart that superior reality that when he faced a giant, he knew who he was and what he could do, because that reality was into his heart. He had been meditating on the word of God. And Joshua, he's the guy that brought the Israelites actually into the promised land. It says that he was told that the word shouldn't depart from his mouth, that if he would keep it in his mouth, there would be great success. And I just challenge you, do you think he could have marched around the city of Jericho 7 times without saying a word if he didn't understand a superior reality to that of the natural? And what is God calling you to do? What is he asking from you? Every word that is spoken in this room, every prophetic word, isn't just so, oh, wow, God spoke to me tonight, today. That's nice. Yay. He spoke. Yay. That's not it. He's giving you a glimpse into a superior reality that he wants you to step up into. He wants you to step out of the natural realm and into that superior reality and live from that place. Take those words. Every one of you, we print them on purpose so that you have them before your face. You need to be rehearsing them. You need to be speaking them out loud. You need to remember, oh, this is how he sees me. This is what he's doing in my life. This is what he wants. And I'm telling you, every time a word comes, the Lord gave me a word. And the word was this, that I'm bringing you into a season of rest. I'm telling you, there's been nothing restful about it. And I realize that the enemy is trying to change what God wants, has spoken over me. He's giving me a challenge. Are you going to believe the superior reality that I'm in a season of rest? Or am I going to believe the one that I'm not sleeping? I got so much to do. I can't function. Which one am I going to believe? And you have to face that, every one of you, continuously. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the word of God? Our hearts have to embrace this superior reality shown us in the word. And the reality of the word has to become more part of our conscious lives, more of our thinking than the natural. It has to be. And I'm telling you, church, that does not happen by chance. You have to do something. If you want to make his words become your reality, you have to meditate on it. You have to be in the word. You have to be going after God. You have to be hungering and thirsting for that. You can't just say, I'm here. Well, it hasn't. Oh, it didn't happen today. Oh, it didn't happen tomorrow. Well, I don't know. God said that, and God doesn't lie, but here I am. No, you have a part in it. You have a part in it. And you have to step in. But first of all, you have to understand that there is a superior reality. And then you have to say, I'm not going to keep holding on to this gross stuff. I'm not going to keep holding on to that which keeps me in captivity. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to live the truth. I'm going to look for the truth. I'm going to walk in the truth. We must stop seeing all the problems everywhere, and we must see the superior reality. Truth. Jesus is the answer to your problems. He's in control, and he's working. And you can just trust me on this one. You will not find the superior reality on TV. And you're not going to find it in the internet either. And I'm telling you, where are you spending your time? I'm challenging you this morning. Where are your thoughts held captive? What do you have to let go of in order for you to move into the superior reality? When the cover comes off and you see reality, everything shifts and changes, just like it did for Elisha's servant. And I'm not talking about positive thinking here. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about taking the reality of the Word of God and living in its truth and allowing your heart to be so full of the Word that every problem, every situation, His reality comes out of our mouth and hearts. And that doesn't happen very often, church. Is your mouth aligning with Him? Is the Word of God a priority in your life? Do you study it to know the living Word? Have you encountered the power of it within its pages? Are you speaking the Word of God over your situations? I declare health over my body. I declare health over my skin, over my bones, over my eyes. I declare it because He provided for it, so I declare that over me. That's where it begins, knowing the One who is truth and allowing Him to show you the superior reality, His truth. And so I want to close with a favorite psalm of mine. I didn't put it up, sorry. It came to me afterwards. It's Psalm 86:11a. I want you to just close your eyes and really listen to this. It's our heart's cry. Father, teach me your ways, O Lord. Can you say that? Teach me your ways, O Lord. That I might live according to your truth. That ought to be our declaration every day. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. Your truth. You who are truth. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Will you stand with me? Understand something. This message challenges me every bit as much as it challenges you, because it's easy to sit back. It's so easy to sit back and just let the devil have his way in our lives. And church, it's time we raise ourselves up into that superior reality. We live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. It is present. The kingdom of God is alive and active in our midst. The kingdom of God is actually moving. It's moving forward. It's moving forward. The kingdom of God is releasing revival, and I am going to be a part of that revival. I'm going to step into what God is wanting for me. I want to live from that place. I want to pray from that place. Do you want to join me this morning? Do you want that to be a part of your life too? So I pray over you. I pray the same prayer that Elisha prayed over his servant. God, would you open their eyes? Would you open their eyes, God, and let them see the beautiful, mighty, wondrous work you are doing in Jesus' name.
Put your hand in your heart this morning. I love saying this blessing over you because I know when I say it, God moves. He releases His peace and His joy and His blessing. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name.